Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about this podcast and our other resources, please visit spcconline.org. God bless you.
And your goodness
to generations.
Generations, Lord, we proclaim
your majesty,
and your goodness
to generations.
We honor you, Father. Thank you for your presence, for your word, for your spirit. As we go into the word now, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. In particular, I pray for fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and my lips, so indeed I would speak as I should, as your oracle. I ask, Father, that by your mercy, the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and insufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. I further pray for mercy to be faithful. Yes, to deliver this word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all's in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mention in that prayer in their own individual lives, all agreed with me individually and said, I have a very important instructional message, present truth message, as it's a truth that is presently being fulfilled. It's actually like a continuation of my message from last week. I didn't plan it that way. It was as I developed it, as the Holy Spirit developed it in me, that I realized the connection. And I've entitled it, Walking the Narrow Way by God's Mercy. Walking the Narrow Way by God's Mercy. I mentioned last week that we need to establish our hearts to prepare them for the coming of the Lord in us. Might I quickly put us into remembrance that when we talk about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, majority of people only think of either the rapture or the millennial reign. Oh, Jesus is going to come back and he's going to come. And that's true. He's going to come back. And he's going to come back in the rapture. But really, there's much more detail to it than that. There are actually four aspects. I got the second aspect from my friend, Professor Fred Adekoke, you know. I said it before, but you know, he made it much more clear. He's going to, first of all, come in us in the perfection, the fullness of Christ, causing us to inherit the Spirit without measure. We have the Holy Spirit now, but we certainly do not have it. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit without measure. We don't have that. That's why you don't see anything. The time the thing would have come out would be during COVID. if there was anybody on earth that had the spirit without measure when this COVID thing broke down, we would have seen it then. The COVID, God allowed it to shake all nations to show that the church has not yet got the spirit without measure. And if there was anything we should learn from the COVID experience, is to get deeper into God in our closets, so that as this COVID thing recedes from the earth, we will come out with a spirit without measure. For the Bible tells us, is in Psalm 67 verse 2, you know, he's saving health among all nations. There's one of the significant aspects of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the healing of the sick. I hear people say, oh, Jesus just came to save us from sin. No. It's true he came to save us from sin. Fundamentally, firstly and foundationally, that is true. But he didn't come to save us from sin only. He also came to save us from sickness. And he also came to save us from poverty. All the three of them were on the cross. For cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. The curse of sin, the curse of sickness, the curse of poverty. And God wants the church to demonstrate the healing power of God to all nations. It's the will of God. He really wants that. And it cannot be done without spirit, without measure. You see it in the ministry of Jesus, who is the prototype, the pattern son. Anytime Jesus preached, and I'm going to do the same thing this afternoon, he would end by healing the sick. He healed those that had need of healing. Even when people had unbelief and they didn't believe, that power would still be there. One time he was preaching, he's in Peter's house, you know, and all the doctors of the law, you know, that's all the scribes and the Pharisees, you know, they'd heard about this, you know, young man from Nazareth, and many of them were very skeptical. Many of them didn't believe who he was, but they said, let's go and hear. So the Bible says the place was packed. It was jam-packed. You know, Peter's house is a residential house. It wasn't an auditorium. In those days, they didn't have auditoriums and cathedrals like we that developed later on. You know? So Jesus was there. You know? The Bible says, and he taught the word. And you know what the scripture says? He says, and the power of God was present to heal. And the Lord told me recently, he said, that happens all the time. It's all the time. The power of God, anytime the word of God is preached under unction with revelation and anointing, the power to heal. You know why? The healing is a part of the package. It's a part of the package. God wants to heal the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the leper as a demonstration to humanity of his love and his kindness to us. And this just came to me by the Spirit now. To show men that he's not responsible for those things. God didn't give anybody sickness. Sickness is a consequence of sin and separation from God. The Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What did Jesus destroy when he was on earth? Sickness. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were what? Oppressed of the devil. Every sickness is a satanic oppression. If you can't say amen, say oh me. No will of God. Never. And never will be. I heard Kenneth Hagin say this many years ago. God bless him. Give Kenneth Hagin a clap offering. Amen. He's in heaven. And you know what he said? He said that Jesus prayed that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said that if there is sickness in heaven, then we can pray that his will be done on earth. He said if we are praying the kingdom of God is the will of God in heaven on earth, certainly we know that there's no sickness in heaven. So for the will of God to be on earth as it is in heaven means that God's will on earth is that there should be no sickness. Give the Lord a clap offering. Simple logic. And so precise and so clear. You know, don't mix the devil and God up. It's the devil that brings sickness and disease. And God wants to heal his people. So God wants us to inherit the spirit without measure, where we can see instant healings. You see, in the ministry of Jesus, the healings were instant. Maximum a few hours. you know, usually not less than 24 hours. But we don't see that today. We see healings today, but we don't see too many instant healings. So we pray and we get better. Sometimes we have to use medical science to help. And there's nothing wrong in that because it's all part of a growth process, you know. But what is coming, this spirit without measure, is going to, that's going to be characteristics. It's going to demonstrate instant healing. So Jesus is preaching and the power of the Lord is present to heal them. And they brought a man who was sick, you know, with the palsy. He was paralyzed. Today he was a paralytic. They could not enter, you know, because one, there were too many people. Two, they were not important people. You know, just a guy with a palsy, you know, when there are big men inside the place, all the doctors of the law from all Judea and Jerusalem and everywhere, all the top guys came to Peter's house to come and listen to. So, you know, just an ordinary man like that would not be allowed inside. In fact, I'm sure some of the strong men at the gate, you can imagine James and John, the sons of thunder. So, come on, get away from here. You know. So, you know what those boys did? They went to the roof. And they tore open Peter's roof. And began to let the sick, the paralytic man, they let him down. The Bible tells something very wonderful and interesting. It says, and Jesus looked up. And he saw their faith. How can you see faith? Action. That's how you see faith. He said, show me your faith without your works. And I will show you my faith by. See, my actions will prove whether I have faith or I don't have faith. He said, he saw their faith. And they let the man down from something. Then Jesus said something wonderful. He said, thy sins are forgiven thee. Is a double package. It's always deal with sin and then deals with sickness. And the strong men, they have not changed, Pastor Gwenga. They're still the same today. In their heart, they were criticizing. Who is this that speaks blasphemies? They didn't say it out. They didn't have the courage. You know, who can forgive sins? Jesus immediately. You know, if you're a spiritual person, you can perceive people's hearts. You know, immediately Jesus picked it in his spiritual antenna and radar. Because see, anytime you are thinking in your heart, you are sending out a signal in the spirit realm. I don't care whether what you say with your mouth. And you know what? Demons can say this. They can see the signal in your heart that's coming from your heart. They know when there is faith and they know when there is not faith. So, Jesus really picked it and said, okay, let me ask you a simple question. What is easier? Watch this. To say your sins are forgiven or take up your bed and walk? The truth about it is neither is easier because only God can do both. But that you may know, give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. That the Son of Man has authority. The word power is in the King James, exousia. That has authority to forgive sins. Take up your bed and walk. And the Bible says, and the man took up his... everybody say instantly. It wasn't 10 minutes. It was in... You see, all this one we do and we try, it's not... It's because we are doing with spirit measure. When spirit without measure is in operation, it's instant. The man immediately, he got up. Everybody look at the word immediately. Everybody shout it. I didn't hear you. Say it one more time. Say it with a lot more noise. Now turn to your neighbor and say, that's the characteristic of the spirit without measure. You have to inherit it. Immediately. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that he got up and he left. When he left, you know what the people said? You go to the next verse. He says, and they were all amazed. And they glorified God. All these skeptic guys. And they were filled with fear instead of being filled with faith. And saying, we have seen strange things today. What we Yoruba people call iyanu. What makes your mouth open? You know the amazing thing about this story is that the power was not there to heal that man. It was there to heal them. Give the Lord a clap over it. It was there. It wasn't there to heal that man. It was them that were listening, just like you now that you are listening. The power is here to heal you. But sadly, the people who it was brought for, they didn't get healed because they didn't believe. But the man who it was not there for, who didn't even qualify to come for the meeting, who had faith and had so much faith, he demonstrated it by opening the roof, he got it. God wants us to establish our hearts so he will come in us in this spirit, with this spirit without measure. And I said this last week, that the degree to which your heart is prepared will determine the degree to which you can manifest a spirit without measure. You see this in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus had a spirit without measure. He was the one who actually inherited. Then God took some of it and put it on the 12 apostles. He took some of it and he put it on the 70 disciples. They manifested, but not at Jesus' level. They healed the sick, instant. They cleansed the lepers, instant. We don't have any record of any of them raising the dead at that time. I think the guys who did that was later on in the Acts of the Apostles. You see Peter raising the dead. Then you see Paul too raising the dead. See, the raising of the dead was not that common. And that's how it's going to be in this time too. As the Lord comes in us, the degree to which you prepare your heart will determine the degree to which you can manifest the Spirit without measure. I've said this before. I'm going to keep saying it because it's God's truth. Healing the sick, things like cancer, cleansing the lepers, things like, you know, withered hands growing out, will be as common as tongues is now. If you can't say amen, say omi. Yeah. It'll be common because the average disciple will be able to do those things. It'll be like the 12 and the 70. It won't be a big deal. And that's why the healing power of God will be known amongst all nations. Because even disciples who have got what we call the borrowed anointing, who have not inherited the full spirit without measure, at that level, they will heal the sick and they will cleanse lepers. It will be common. It won't be everybody. Just like today, tongues is common, but not everybody prays in tongues. And even those who pray in tongues, not everybody prays in tongues effectually and fervently. So it's going to be with the spirit without measure. Not everybody will have it. It's only those that qualify, who have been following Jesus, you know, and have become disciples, who, let's get back to the message, have prepared their hearts. Those who have not prepared their hearts will not get the spirit without measure. So you have to prepare your heart. So I said, to establish your heart, you have to be, I'm saying that for today, patient or consistent. The word patience in the New Testament means consistency. Doing the same thing over and over, over and over again, consistently. My wife made a comment recently about Good Morning Jesus and prayer and all of that. See, the average Christian has been brought up without the virtue of patience. That is why many of them find it difficult to come for a form like Good Morning Jesus and stay. Because Good Morning Jesus prayers are structured prayers. The fear of God, the fruit of the spirit of wisdom and revelation, life scriptures. Then we now pray in tongues and with prophetic declarations and all that kind of thing. And it's the same structure. It doesn't change. So patience is the ability to keep doing the same thing consistently. And the Bible says that's how you inherit the promises, through faith and patience. No patience, no inheritance. I didn't hear amen. So you have to be patient and consistent in walking in what the Bible calls the narrow way. So today, I'm going to zero in on the narrow way and why it is narrow. I have mentioned these things tangentially in many messages over the months and years. But today, the Holy Spirit said, go and preach and teach this to the church. that is Scripture Pastor, and the whole church, really, because all our messages, of course, go on YouTube, so it has a and they're on the internet, so there's a universal broadcast of the message. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. And we're going to look at verses 13 and 14. One of the great statements that came from the lips of the Master himself. You know what he said? He said, "Enter ye in." I didn't hear you. "At the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many," everybody say many. Then turn to your mind, but do you know the meaning of many? Two thirds. Majority. That didn't come from Olubi Johnson. It came from the Word of God. The Bible says two thirds will be cut off and die. Destruction. It says one third. By the time I finish this message, you will understand. Why people don't go the narrow gate? People take the broad, easy way. And you know the tragedy of the matter, honey, Pastor G, the tragedy of the matter is that their teachers teach them that the broad way is okay. "I don't mind, Pastor Lubi. Don't mind all these people. You don't have to do all of that. Look at this person, he didn't do that. Look at this one, he didn't do that. Look at this one, he didn't do that. And see how God is blessing them." They've forgotten that the kingdom is not meat and drink. They are measuring God's kingdom and God's blessing by material things. And thinking that, you know, they suppose that gain is godliness. So they think, this guy not praying without, they're not doing all of these things, you know, and see how God is blessing them. As if a man's life consists in the things, the abundance of the things that he has. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody. It will lead to destruction. And he's not talking about sinners, and he's not talking about hell. The traditional Christian will take it and say, you know, few of us that are, you know, straight and we are following Jesus, you know, and the great majority of the world is going to destruction and going to hell. He's not talking about hellfire. He's talking to his disciples. Contextualize it. He's talking about the church. Majority of the church want to look for the broad and wide way. I'm going to explain in a minute. And most of them reject the narrow way. So they say, why? Because it's narrow. That's why. A narrow way is an uncomfortable way. Majority go the way that it seems broad and wide and easy. Anybody who tells you that your Christian life will not require sacrifice is telling you a lie. Hear me, church. No crown without a cross. You are not going to inherit the spirit without measure. You're not going to inherit eternal life in abundance. Same thing as spirit without measure. Jesus said, "I'm come that they may have life." Everybody gets that. Born again. But he didn't stop there. He said, "And that they may have it more abundantly." And he wasn't talking about Mercedes cars. And he wasn't talking about a house in Lekki. And he wasn't talking about material things. It will produce a Mercedes. It can produce a house in Lekki. But that's not the fundamental thing. He's talking about having the life of God in abundant measure. Or like we say, without measure.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you and God bless you.